ready for the Word of God. I'm ready to preach it. I'm ready because God has anointed me to preach, called me to preach, and given me a word to speak. And so let's stand together to look at God's Word, and I want to share it with you from Genesis chapter number 12. This is a challenge in the new year. We have a new year, we have a fresh start, and a new opportunity to honor God. And it says in chapter 12 of Genesis, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" We're living in that today. The fulfillment of that prophetic word given to Abram as he comes up out of the Ur of Chaldees. And what a fantastic history that is. So we're thankful, Father, for the truth of your word. We're thankful for all the implications that it has in our lives. We are recipients of the blessings of those who preceded us, and we are thankful for that. Our lineage and our heritage has been grafted into the roots of that tree, the tree of faith, the people of faith. And tonight, I thank you that what's in our hearts and in our minds will be pleasing to you, because we're here to honor you, to listen to your truth, and then to walk in it as it applies to us. We thank you for great answers to prayer and the resurrection of our dreams. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You may be seated. Tell your neighbor, it's good for us to be here. Amen. Because I have a word for this new year. And it's for the body of Christ. And because it's for the body of Christ here at Calvary Christian Center, that means it has implications for our entire community. So be sure you take notes, because I need to lay some things out for you in this new year. You need to take some notes, because this is stuff you don't want to forget. There will come advancement for the body of Christ, because we have an open window and an open door, and God has listened to the heartfelt prayers of his people and responded to the heartfelt prayers of his people and their actions, because we got up and we acted and said we are going to make change in a new direction. So there will be advancement for the body of Christ. The danger is that because we prayed and we saw God answer that prayer, that we can sit back down in our comfort and grow content and lose all the momentum we just gained from the Lord. But if we continue to pray and continue to believe and continue to unite, moving forward with hearts that are humble before God, turn from our wicked ways, seek the face of the Lord, we will continue to hear from heaven. That means there will be advancement for the body of Christ as he heals our land. So be prepared. This is not a day for business as usual. There needs to be acceleration for the church. So let no negative report get in your spirit or begin to affect you. And certainly don't grow content. Say, the body of Christ is secure and advancing. So I trust you're drawing closer to Jesus on this fast. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, man, the dynamic increase of that presence of Jesus as we worship him in the time of fasting. Receive what God has ordained in this house tonight. Be sure you get a copy of this, because you might want to hear more of this so you can rehearse it. But generationally and internationally is the way God chooses to work through his people. The Father already knows what you have need of, totally. He said, if the birds aren't worried, neither should you be. So stepping into this new year, do so with confidence in God. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You cannot have that if you don't know that. Tell your neighbor, he's speaking to you. So you have all that, and you're praying for more. Amen? Be grateful for the neighbor in Christ next to you. Their prayer for you can heal and deliver you. They are anointed and appointed to be here in the family of God. And we were born again because someone prayed for us. We were healed because someone prayed for us. We have employment because someone prayed for us. You're alive because someone prayed for you. The departed saints' prayers are still being answered before the throne of God. And to top it off, Jesus is praying for you. So the resurrection of your dream or your vision, I want to address that for a few minutes. We need to be awakened once again to our dream and our vision. They have been buried by distractions and circumstances and by our own contentment. Others cannot see that big because of all these other things that get in our lives. I'm challenged tonight to see bigger, to stretch further. And here's how this all works. God spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, and here's what happened. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. God told him, get up and get away from the Ur of the Chaldees and from that family of heathens making idols to other gods, and you're going to go somewhere. I'm going to take you. And Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Abraham got up and moved. And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church tonight. Amen? Listen to what he's saying to us. So he's saying something to the church. According to the word, hearing is movement. About five people got that. Hearing is movement. You didn't hear me if you didn't move. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Now, if I got preoccupied watching Roadrunner and my mom said to me, Michael, go empty the trash. If she had to repeat it, it was because I was distracted. The third time, did you hear me? Because if you heard me, you would move. My parent talking to me, but I was preoccupied with my own stuff. Even though I heard her voice, I didn't hear her. God loves you enough, so when he says, did you hear me? He'll make sure you did. Life can get rough because he first spoke to you quietly, cool and calmly. But you want to listen to him when he starts speaking, because sooner or later, you will hear a louder voice. We need to be in a season to listen. Spiritual experts are obsolete. People who give you advice based on their own adoption of cultural values, that's over. There's a fresh move of God's Spirit in the world, and he will speak before he does it. And when he tells you, speaks to you, you have to move at his word. God desires you resurrect your dream. And it can get rough in the middle of that, but his grace is sufficient. When I am weak, God assists me. Then I am strong, because if the enemy curses me, he will be cursed. If the devil wanted to attack me, better to do that while I'm feeling strong. Because when I am weak, remember, my God never slumbers and he never sleeps. And no weapon the enemy forms, listen, it will not prosper. Every word he speaks against me, I shall condemn. How? Not rolling your neck at the devil and saying, that's a lie and I rebuke. No, you condemn the devil by completing your assignment. If you really want to smash him into the ground, complete your assignment. Remain focused on what you're supposed to do when he's telling you, you can't do it. Then do it and condemn his words. Amen? Do it and condemn his words. Say, God, resurrect my dream and vision. Oswald Chambers wrote a book, and most of us have picked up over the years the most important work that people have concluded that he's done, My Utmost for His Highest. But he wrote this book too, Not Knowing Where. This is an amazing book. It's hard to come by, hard to find. I still got a good copy of it, Not Knowing Where. It covers the story of Abraham that was being told by God. He was being told by God, leave your home, get out of the Ur of Chaldees. It's a heathen culture. And Abraham begins this journey. But remember, he didn't know where he was going. There are times God will instruct you to start moving forward, progressing in your walk with him, but you don't know exactly how that looks or what that means, because rarely does God give you the full picture. God said, if you'll trust me, I'll reveal it to you once you arrive, which means you are totally dependent on God to set direction. He's not taking you where you have been. Been there, done that. God's always moving forward for growth. And you are dream activators. I'm here to bless you with an anointing to awaken. In turn, you're anointed to awaken others. Because you're bigger than what you think you are. You are an activator activating others. And the Holy Spirit working here at Calvary Christian Center awakens the vision in your life. So what makes your dream so powerful, it hasn't happened yet. And some people don't like you because of your dreams. That's what happened to Joseph. It's about to happen, and some are jealous because you start talking about it. What is about to manifest, it's bigger than you imagined. But if you don't speak it, it cannot happen. If you don't say, this is what God is saying, it cannot manifest. We can't just think this thing we dream. We must speak it. Get in an atmosphere. Speak your dreams. Declare, listen, you won't be broke. Declare you're not going to remain ill and sick. And no matter who doesn't like it, for he who has begun a good work in you shall complete it. Do you believe that tonight? So Chambers is revealing the story of Abraham into unknown territory. Your dream, your vision is into unknown territory. We've never been there before. And God always begins with a dreamer. There are some things God wants to place in your hands as tools. With God, it's always vision first. God will give you vision first. Then comes the reality, the in-between. What is between vision and manifestation is often a deep valley of humiliation. All too many get stuck in the valley between vision and manifestation. A lot of you got stuck there. And this whole body should be mature enough, strong enough, to be bringing people to Jesus, inviting people to church, discipling new believers, teaching others what God has taught you, and seeing miracles manifest in your small groups on and off the campus. Between vision and manifestation, all too many of God's children have been stuck in the valley of humiliation. A faithful soul gets plunged into darkness after seeing God's vision, because after the vision, there is a test. And you got excited about what God's saying. But then comes a distraction called a valley test. God gave Joseph a vision to be a ruler, but that vision parked in neutral when his brothers tossed him into a pit. Why? Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. That's speaking directly about Joseph. When God speaks a word and gives you a vision, it opens your eyes. You see. in between the time he speaks the vision to you and the manifestation, there will be a series of tests. The vision has to be tested in you. You can tell when people actually believe something and they're just talking and they're quoting scripture, or do they truly believe it? When you truly believe, it shall manifest. But the dream has to be tested in you. Joseph had a word. God gave him a dream. But when the dream happens, get ready, get prepared. You're about to be tested. And God will test his word in us. Why? So we'll be able to keep it. We will know what to do with it when it manifests. We'll be able to carry it with integrity when he hands it to us. We'll be capable of handling all when it shows up. But we must be mature enough to carry it. And if you were to win a grand prize of $5,000 a week for the rest of your life, many of you could not handle it. It would wreck you. It would wreck your home, wreck your bloodline, because you have not been tested to handle it. Tithing is a part of that testing process. And if you won't tithe when you have little, you will not tithe when you have much. So you won't be able to manage much because you refused to pass the tithe test. And let the church say amen. Amen. If God dropped a dream into your heart, announcement, it will be tested. God will mature us to handle it. God tested Israel in the desert so they could embrace the promised land. Calvary, recognize there is a test that comes from God. God will test his word in you. And God gave Joseph a vision of being a ruler. Then the vision went into neutral when his brothers tossed him into that cistern. Let me ask you a question. When did your vision go into neutral? Because if your vision is something you can do, it is not a vision from God. It came out of your heart, not God's. Whatever vision God gives you, it will take him to do it. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. You can't imagine what God wants to give you. And that's why praying in the Spirit is so important. If you haven't been baptized in the Spirit, that ought to be priority number one, because praying in the Spirit gets you into alignment with God's plan. And you don't know what you're praying, but you're being controlled by the Holy Spirit in your prayers, and now you are praying the will of God and not your will. We don't have the natural language to describe what it is God wants to do, because what God wants to do is not a flesh thing. But when you're praying in the Spirit, it's God communicating with himself through you. And no one else knows what is happening, but you know in the Spirit something is shifting. Then it begins to get downloaded to you, where you begin to comprehend it piece by piece. And then you come to a specific church service on a Sunday, and all of a sudden, while you're listening to the pastor as he begins to speak, and it's like, that's the piece I just needed to hear. What makes it great, I'm speaking in a service in public about your business, yet I was not informed by you as to what dream it was that God gave you. And if I say something that corrects your thinking, don't go and be all offended. Go to God with it and submit your will to his. Look at the lives of Jesus' disciples. Jesus told them, you will be rulers in my coming kingdom. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials. He's speaking to the 12. And I bestow upon you a kingdom just as my Father bestowed one upon me. Now, this is a great dream. This is this great vision God has for them. that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So his 12 disciples are going to sit on thrones and oversee each of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Listen to me. Jesus promises them a place of honor in his kingdom, a place of honor at his table. And then when they thought it was just going to start happening, people go and crucify and bury Jesus. We've all been through those experiences. Jesus' disciples are ready to follow him, of course, to be made rulers in his kingdom, and then he's crucified. And Peter said, I don't know him. I swear I don't know him. Cussing and denying Jesus, and every disciple is running for the hills. They went back to their former careers. Peter said, I'm going to return to my fishing business. The vision will never come to pass. We have just wasted 3.5 years of our lives. Now watch this. Even Jesus had to do this. He came with purpose. The kingdom of God is at hand. His cousin preached, and he comes to restore that which was lost. He came to destroy the works of the devil. At 30, he launches his ministry. Miracles everywhere. They can't even write enough books to contain them. Healings and truth taught like never before. At age 33, they're ready to crucify him. King of kings, Lord of lords, with a vision. God in human flesh. But did Jesus have to endure the in-between? Jesus faced his Gethsemane. And the word was tested in him. Jesus was tested. Am I who I say I am? He battled that test in the wilderness after fasting for 40 days. And he won that battle. But the devil left him, and the scripture says, left him awaiting a more convenient time. That convenient time came in the garden called Gethsemane. Because, you know, faith is interesting. People believe when it's just really good stuff, and they get all rah, rah, rah. But when you realize faith might lead you into a fiery furnace 7 times hotter, and there's a chance you might die, what if God asks you to sacrifice? He will. And God gives you a vision. Then the vision, listen, that he gives you has gone into neutral. Why? So God can resurrect it. And there's pain involved. And there are some here who have grown very impatient with the vision God's given you. We attempt to rush things along instead of waiting for God to do it his way in his time. What are you trying to rush along that God needs you to wait for? Look at Abraham. God gives him a command and gives him a promise. Say command and promise. In Genesis 12, 1, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house to a land I will show you. That's a tough challenge. But after the test, watch. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. The dream God gave Abraham, his descendants are going to become a great nation. Calvary, what are we doing now? What we're doing now is generational and international. What we're planting now has generational implication and international implication. And in order for Abraham to fulfill the promise, he needed a son. And when God gives you a dream about your purpose, there will be something out of your control that only God can give you. Anybody listening to this? I'm getting blessed listening to it. I'm preaching to me. You can run to the doctor. You can run to the attorney. You can run to whoever. They will not have that answer for you because there's something connected to your dream that has to hook up supernaturally to the timing of God. I'm going somewhere. This is going to help somebody. God gives him this promise, and many years pass. And Abram and Sarah had no son. Say, no child. When it didn't happen over a period of many years, because God said, I will bless all nations through you. This had international as well as generational implication. All is coming through your lineage. And after time had passed, they thought, it is not happening. They were both advanced in years. There was nothing they can see that gives them hope for a son. And Abram says, I'm old. And all I needed to do to fulfill this dream was to have a son. And Abraham thought, I believe in what you promised me, Lord. Maybe you need a little help. Now, I'm speaking to your neighbor right now. Because I know it's your neighbor who wants to help God, not you, right? Doubt began to take root regarding God's promise. Isn't it amazing how excited we are when God gives us a dream? How faithful we stand when, until it appears it's taking God too long. Then faith turns into doubt. Then you begin asking God, did you really mean that? Are you still saying that? Did I miss something? And we fall into a funk and into a routine, and there's nothing I can see that gives us hope. That's naturally in front of me. I can't see it. But you remain faithful day in and day out. And the problem and the danger here is that spirit of being content. You still show up every day, yet you have accepted your life as that. What did Abraham do? Sarah, seeing his frustration and not having a son, says, go in and have a relationship with my maidservant. And Hagar bore Abraham a son named Ishmael. Ishmael was not the son of promise. Ishmael was the son of Abraham's impatience. Question, what have you birthed out of impatience in the flesh? And now it's troubling you, and now it's stealing your joy. Now later, God blessed Sarah with the ability in her old age to bear a son for Abraham. He was Isaac, the son of God's promise. See, we attempt to help God. Say to your neighbor, God needs no help. And when we attempt to help God in our way, on our timetable, we're going to give birth to an Ishmael, not an Isaac. Say, Pastor, what does Ishmael represent? Glad you asked. Ishmael represents the work of the flesh. Isaac represents the work of the Spirit of God. Ishmael came into the world because Abraham and Sarah decided to make happen what God promised instead of trusting God and waiting. What is God testing you concerning? What is God asking you to trust him for? Some of you have grown impatient, and yet you're so close, but you're going to take matters into your own hands. And when you take matters into your own hands, you will produce an Ishmael. And Ishmael represents man's ideas which war against the Spirit of God. And so let me drill just a little more deeply here. Abraham, bringing Ishmael into the world, eventually introduced Islam into the world. Islam is the enemy of Judaism and Christianity. So watch this. Ishmael also represents the inheritance of the flesh that every man has to struggle with daily before obtaining the promise of God. And when you birth an Ishmael, when you get ahead of God, you entertain, you invite into your life the struggle of flesh. And if you got ahead of God and you bought the car, now every month you're sweating the car payment. It wasn't that God didn't promise you that new car, but you got out ahead of God and tried to make stuff happen. Attempted to put the pieces in place yourself instead against God's perfect timing. So, listen, instead of the new car being a blessing, it's now been produced as a work of the flesh, and it's on you and not on God. You might as well look at the reality of Ishmael and say, I birthed this, God did not. And the real deal, you went out and bought a Toyota, but God wanted to give you a Lexus. But you could not wait. You wanted your satisfaction. And now you're struggling because flesh begets flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Flesh produces struggle. And God promised you, He gave you a dream, but God's timing is just as important as God's will and promises. It seems like it's taking so long for God to be God, and there isn't anybody here who hasn't thought that thought. It's taking you so long because there's always a valley in between the promise and the fulfillment. So you went and you had sex with a servant. It has nothing to do with God. And you consummated a deal that birthed you trouble and struggle and sweat. And I'm here to tell you, God says, I'm sending pastor to warn you. I have bigger things for you than you ever thought in your past or in your current about your future. And it will not bring you struggle, and it will not bring you sweat. You won't have to worry how to pay for it, and you won't be sweating every 30 days in sackcloth and ashes. If I promised you a big business, I'll give you big business. If I promised you a spouse, I'll bring him or her to you. Not the one you pick, because a flesh pick will worry you to death. But if you wait on my timing a little bit longer, be patient, because in the process I'm molding you, I'm making you, I'm creating you, giving you a foundation. You won't have to fake it until you make it. You'll have all of that to sustain you. Then you'll tell someone else how to obtain their promise. And you can put that in God's bank, because that's how God does business with His people of covenant. We don't need Ishmaels. We need Isaacs. We need a bloodline so we can teach our children how to walk in the will of God. Study of global Christianity. Same article, it says 90,000 Christians killed in 2016, martyred. That's incredible. And the same article says believers and their children in the United States are at the worst biblical literacy levels ever. Ever. 44% of Americans believe the Bible is not literally true. 64% believe the resurrection of Jesus. Only 64% believe the resurrection of Jesus actually happened. And fewer than 47% of Americans think the Bible is 100% accurate. Basic biblical literacy is a real problem in our culture. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, wow, we don't need Ishmaels. We need Isaacs. We need a bloodline so we can teach our children how to walk in the will of God. So then we teach them in practicality. This is how you process this when it's time for you to go buy a vehicle. Or time for you to go buy a house. This is how it works in your walk. God is so connected to these items. How to get an education and be debt free. So you need someone with character. You need someone with ability. You need someone who knows God. You need someone who can call the Holy Spirit. You need someone who can hear God's word and move when He says move. I'm sick of watching church folk producing Ishmaels, then struggle for the rest of their lives. And don't misunderstand this. I've had the experience of having promise and not yet giving birth. An experience that's common among married women in some cases. I've walked the floor talking to God, explaining to God about how His plan and the timing just isn't going to work. I've been in the valley of those kinds of experiences. The Word of God has tested me, but I did not give birth to an Ishmael. And I didn't try to help God by accepting other opportunities and means and ways that would get us into serious financial debt and trouble. Nor did I accept opportunities to go pastor elsewhere in a larger capacity. Because unless God puts you in that church, you won't be able to stay in that church. Unless God builds the house, you labor in vain. That's why I can still stand, because I did not manipulate, I did not play any games, nor have any backdoor deals. I'm here because God sent me here. I'll remain here until God's ready to move me from here. This is no Ishmael. It's an Isaac and Jacob and spiritual lineage. But God has to put us on delay because he's not preparing us to be just an obscure church. He's preparing us to make a Book of Acts church with a Book of Acts impact, because I don't serve a small-minded God, but exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I ask or think. God, man, God is preparing us for spiritual battle, combat, to take a licking and keep on ticking. And the reason he has not released you is yet, you're not strong enough for what he truly has for you. And if you can just say, God, do whatever you have to do. Break me, make me, stretch me, whatever you have to do. Because I realize my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. You have something bigger. And if I can just wait on you, I will renew my strength. I will mount up with wings as eagles. I will run and not grow weary. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Are you listening to this? Galatians 4. For whom I labor in birth until Christ is formed in you. And that's where God is taking each of us. We have to live according to God's promise, not according to our impatience. And when our vision appears to have died, don't panic and don't become anxious. When we are impatient, it means we are distrustful. Because we have a problem with waiting to see how God resurrects our dream. God will do so in his own time and in his own power. My dad was a track runner in addition to football player. He excelled in track. My first day in junior high school, we had a split system back east. We had K through 6 and then 7, 8, 9 in a different facility called junior high, and then from there on, 10, 11, 12 in a high school facility. My first day in junior high, and our first experience after we got acclimated and oriented, we went to our athletic class because we had to compete to be on in the athletic club of the junior high school. So I made that squad, and we had to be there at 7 a.m., sometimes 6:30 for our getting all rehearsed and prepped and all the exercises and preliminaries we had to learn. And the first time I entered that gym locker room with our coach, and he sat us down and then went through the roster, and he came to my name and he looked at it, and he looked at me and had me stand up, and he said, are you Al's son? Yes, sir. Oh, I know your dad. He said, turn around. So I did. And he said, you see the picture hanging there behind you in that box on the wall? Yeah. That's him. Mm-hmm. He said, see that trophy over there? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That one? Mm-hmm. That one? Mm-hmm. He said, he holds the state record in the 220 track. So what are you going to do for our school? Oh, good. Thank you. Track. In learning that aspect of sports, because he took us through competition in just about every sport there is. Track was one of them, track and field, they called it. Of course, basketball, football, baseball. And in learning how to run track, impatience can trigger a false start. Then you have to come back and start over. Reset. So download this for your spirit man. We're in the starting blocks. That's where God has us. It's the most intense moment. You warm up your muscles. You've done that already. You've looked over the track. You're waiting. You're kicking your legs back. You're checking out your competition. The enemy of all of that is impatience. Because some of you have had false starts. You took off before God pulled the trigger and fired the starter gun. Then you had to come back to the starting blocks and reset. But you're only allowed two false starts before you're out of the race. So hear this. You're in the blocks. You're qualified for a prize. God's about to launch you. And where he will take us will be fast. But don't jump the gun. It'll be a tough race. But he says, don't do anything until I give you a go. So this is all in God's hands. Be patient. We are not in charge. We must trust him. And don't do something silly. The flight has been delayed, not denied. And you'll never know what he saved you from by delaying you. So I'm challenging you tonight. You are in the blocks. There's struggle happening. God's breaking you so he can get his dream accomplished. He needs us to trust him and believe what he told us. Calvary Christian Center, dream again. Our struggle, trying to figure out how he's going to do it. He's God. He has it already figured out. He's done it already. You fell into a pit on the journey. Don't remain there. Trust what he said. Come to the spiritual hospital tonight, the altar, and get your vision off the respirator. Some of you, your vision is stuck over somewhere in an ICU. And you go over there once in a while and you visit and you look at it. And it's just kind of laying there in the bed in ICU on a respirator. Calvary, whenever God gives us a vision, wait on God. And he will bring you to his purpose in his appointed time. You need to get your vision off the respirator. You need to lay hands on that vision and lay it before God for a resurrection. When we take it in our hands, then we take it out of God's supernatural intervention. God needs no help in fulfilling his word. That means trust in his word, equally trust in his timing. It might be painful having to wait and to be tested, but it's God's spiritual gift to us. So whatever I tell you in the dark, speak it in the light. And what you hear in your ear, preach on the housetops. God will resurrect your dream. And the time is close. Why we are delayed? God has a story for some others that they need to hear. Share what you've come through. Because God's always looking beyond just us to generations that come after us and people that he cares equally about as he cares for us. People need to hear what you brought out of your test. People need to know, how did you track in the middle of all this? Paid for by staying with God. That's how. Not birthing an Ishmael. His vision is greater, listen, than my deliverance. It's way beyond anything I want. Vision and dream, I speak to you. Come alive in the name of Jesus. You've had a material blessing. You found that it satisfies you temporarily, but you want more of God. I want more of his Holy Spirit. We need more of his presence and more of his peace. Listen, it's not stuff you're looking for. It's him. It's Jesus. It's the presence of the Lord. And at the end of the day, what satisfies is not your house, not your car, not your job. It's resting in him, awakening in the morning in praise, because you know in whom you have believed, and God will direct your steps. We're not going after stuff. We're going after souls and touching nations. It's not stuff of the vision that he's resurrecting. He's building your life while he is working that vision in you. And how was it done in person after person throughout the scripture? And they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Jesus' blood still works. Thank you, brother. I'm glad you know that. Jesus' blood still works. And in the testing and the living through it, you've discovered something about God you didn't know before. A God who is faithful and who keeps his promises. You'll never learn that truth until you start eliminating shortcuts and stop having Ishmaels. And you start trusting this premise. God, if you don't show up, nothing is going to happen.